I'm reading. Can you tell? The minimum week. We're in week two of this series called What If? And it's a series that explores just some what if questions for our lives. You know, there are a lot of possibilities and a lot of personal challenges and a lot of decisions that we make. And many times we get through with those or we look at things in our life and we use those two little words, don't we? What if? Have you ever done it? Shake your head this way. We've all done it. We all get to places and we go, what if? What if I had done this? What if I'd made this decision? What if this had worked out this way? What if, what if, what if? And it's one of those things that constantly is going through our minds. So I thought, let's ask and see if we can look at the Bible at some what if questions. Last week we talked about, what if I forgave everyone? We talked about those little things that we all hold on to, you know, that we really don't want to forgive some people for some things. You know, we feel better if we hold on to that one. But we learned a lesson. Who are we hurting in the process if we do that? Us. I'm not hurting the other person. It's hurting me. So what if I forgave everyone? And we talked about how God says, you know, He forgives as what? As we forgive. And so we hold a responsibility to forgive. And therefore, what if I forgave? Today we're going to ask the question, what if I took control of my thoughts? Now that's one of the probably toughest areas of life for most of us. It is probably one of the toughest spiritual disciplines to control our thoughts. None of the subjects that we are going to deal with in the next 2 or 3 weeks or so are going to rank as high on just being tough to put into practice as this one. What if I control my thoughts? And I think one of the reasons that it's so difficult today to control our thoughts is because of all the outside things that are bombarding us constantly. Things on television, things that we see, things that we read, attitudes that there are around us, things that seem to be here's a phrase you hear a lot, the new norm. Have you heard that phrase? I hate that phrase. I just do not like that phrase at all. I like the old norm myself. But the new norm is a phrase that we hear a lot. What that means is somebody has come up and said, well, you know, in the past this would not have been accepted, this would not have been right, but the new norm is whatever. You especially see it in television shows today. You see all kinds of things in television that they are trying to set the stage for the new norm. Things that years ago we would have said, there is no way that would have ever been on television. There's no way, probably for most of us, it would have ever been a part of our life. But now it is the new norm. We see, we have all these things bombarding us and all these things coming at us all the time that are the new norm. And it is tough to control our thoughts and to set our thoughts where they need to be when all of these things are coming at us. Think about this. Thoughts are powerful things. A fellow by the name of Norman Vincent Peale, some of you will know and recognize the name. Some of you, that may be a new name to you. But Norman Vincent Peale was a guy that wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. One of the things he said is this. This is kind of his catchphrase for the whole thing. Change your thoughts and you change your world. Change your thoughts and you will change your world. I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, but it's not that easy. You can't just change life by changing your thoughts. Actually, the Bible said something about this, didn't it? Said what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts have the ability to change our direction. Thoughts have the ability to direct our response. Thoughts are powerful. Therefore, what if I took control of my thoughts? What if I took control of those things that have such power over me? What if I had the ability to take those thoughts and move them in the right direction instead of having the thoughts move me in a certain direction? Let me give you an example of this. Have you ever been around somebody who's smoking and they're in a place where they know they can't smoke? All right? How often, sitting at that place, do they reach into their pocket and then go, oh, yeah. What is it? It's a habit. It's a thought. They're so accustomed to it that it's just something that's there, and they have to catch the thought. Well, that's just one example. We all have those things, don't we? We all have those thoughts that we have to catch. What if I had control over my thoughts? What if I had the ability to direct them in the right way? You know, thoughts get us into a lot of problems, don't they? You know, think about the problems you get and the problems you get into when it comes to thoughts. Habitual negative thinking leads to problems in our lives that can't be avoided. Let me give you a couple of those real quick as we set the stage, and then we're going to see what the Bible says about all of this. Some things that thoughts get us into. One is negative thinking robs you of a life of faith. If your thoughts are always negative, it robs you of a life of faith. Just think about that. You see, it's difficult to live with an attitude that says, God is bigger than any problem. God is bigger than anything, when you approach every problem thinking, well, this ruins everything. Well, and you have the attitude of when something comes along, well, that's it, we're done for now, we can't do it. It's not going to happen. If that's our thought, then how is it that we can live a life that says God has the ability to do anything? God has power over everything. It's difficult to live with an attitude that says, I'm blessed and highly favored of God, when every time a little inconvenience comes along, we say, well, isn't that typical? See what I'm saying? If we let those thoughts creep in, then it begins to push down even our thought of the ability of what God can do. We've talked about this kind of thing a lot in the last few weeks, in the last few months, but I can't think of a better example than where we're sitting right now. You know, I've said this a lot. When we first had the opportunity for this property and this building and all these things, we looked at it and said, wow, wouldn't that be great? But there was a tendency, be honest with me, folks, for all of us to say, that is absolutely impossible, right? I mean, be honest, we all had a tendency to say, there is no way we could do this. If we had let that thought take over, then none of us would be sitting here right now. Agreed? It was when we let the thought take over that says, yeah, but God's bigger than this. God is able to do things past what I can ask or imagine. God has the ability to make what is for me the impossible something that is very possible. In other words, if we had let that negative thought of, there is no way we can ever do this, permeate everything that we do, then it would have been impossible for us to be here. And that kind of leads me to the next thought, and that is negative thinking leads to inactivity. If we had been negative, what would we have done? Absolutely nothing. But because we said, wait a minute, God's bigger than this. I see God setting the stage for this. I see Him putting all this together. I see all these things coming together and happening. Then maybe God is leading us in a direction that we need to look at. And if He's leading us in that direction, He's opened the door, then certainly He has a plan for making it happen. And guess what? Here we are. But how easy would it have been to say, this is absolutely impossible? And you see, it would have led to a wrong decision. It would have led to a squelching of God's ability and His gift, and it would have led to us not growing in faith as we have grown, because we are where we are. As a matter of fact, last Sunday night we got together and talked about budget for this year and those kind of things in a congregational meeting kind of thing. And quite frankly, God is still stretching our faith, right? As to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But you know what? God didn't bring us here to leave us stranded. God didn't leave us to this place to say, well, now you're on your own. God has a plan. But if in our mind we keep thinking, gosh, how is this going to happen? God, why did you bring us here? Why did you put us in this position? Why is this going to happen in this way and that way? It would have led to inactivity, and it would have led to us not following the desires of God for our life and for our church. So we need to be careful that our thoughts don't get us into all kinds of problems. So let's answer the question then. What good will it do if we turn our thoughts around? What good will it do if we do the things that God has called us to do, if we kind of turn our thoughts around? In other words, if you're willing to do the hard work of taking control of your life and your thoughts, what difference is it going to make in your life? Well, let me give you some things that I think it will make a difference in. One of them is this. You will be happier in life. If you look at life and say, all right, I see the obstacles, I see the things that are out there, but I'm going to put those behind me and rely upon God to take me where He wants me to go, then my life will be much happier. It doesn't take a degree in brain chemistry to know that the person who thinks positive, uplifting thoughts is going to be a happier person in life, right? The person who has those thoughts of, wow, we can do this, how are we going to do this, let's make this happen, is a much happier person than the person that's always going, we can't do this, there's no way, you know, I just don't think this is going to happen, and has negative thoughts. So getting control of thoughts, getting control of the mind, getting control of those things that filter through our minds and our brain leads us to being happier people. There's a second thing when you take control of your thoughts that I think happens, and that is you'll develop a more accurate view of the world. One of, I believe, the misconceptions about positive thinking is that it is nothing more than wishful thinking. And it leads to kind of a Pollyanna attitude. But I don't think that's the case at all. Actually, the purpose of positive thinking is not to look at the world through rose-colored glasses, but to be able to look at the world through clear glasses that help sharpen our focus. We look at the world so that we can see what is really there. And the purpose of getting control of our thoughts, the purpose of looking and saying, hey, we can do this, and thinking positive about things in life, is not to create a fictional view of reality, but to see what really is so that we can then move and do something about it, so that we can respond and act in a positive way. Positive thinking doesn't mean that you avoid thinking about negative things. Actually, it means that you avoid thinking about things negatively. Let me see if I can explain this so we can all kind of grasp what I'm saying here. Negative thinkers will say something like this. They'll say, this is a terrible situation, and there's no solution to it. Have you ever known anybody like that? You know, this is a bad situation. There's no way we're going to get out of this. Positive thinkers, or people who have control of their thoughts, say this. This is a terrible situation. They recognize the reality of the situation. But they go on to say, and I'm going to look for a way to make things better. See the difference? One says, this is a bad situation, and there's nothing I can do about it. The other says, this is a bad situation, but we are going to find a way to work through this together. That's the reason that the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is that thought that motivates us to do the things that God has called us to do. It is our thought that allows us to be action-oriented people. There's another benefit, I think, of this idea of getting control of our thoughts and thinking positive, and that is because we become more productive. When we get our mind and our thoughts in line, we become much more productive in life. Instead of thinking, what's the use, you begin to think, what do I need to do? How can I do this? How can I accomplish this? How can I do these things for the Lord that He's called me to do? When you take control of your thoughts, you spend less time thinking about things that really take you nowhere, and you begin to focus on the things that get you where you want to go. Now, in case you think that all I'm doing is preaching some sermon about positive thinking, and where's the biblical part of this? Absolutely everything I've said comes out of the Scripture. It comes out of what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. Let me give you a verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 15 especially. Listen to what Paul says. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the body you are called to peace. Let me ask you a question. Where does the peace and the unity and the harmony come from that Paul's talking about right there? It comes from being focused on the power and the abilities of God. It comes from being focused in the right way in our thoughts and our mind on who God is. And therefore it brings the peace of Christ into our hearts, because we are all members of the body together and we're called to peace. In other words, we are called to be people that together live on purpose. And that leads me to the next thought. How do we put this into practice? You may sit there and say, okay, Mark, all this is good stuff. I like it. I like what I'm hearing. I like to be able to think positive, all those kind of things. But, all right, how do we do it? I have a tendency to think negative about everything. I have a tendency to look at not the possibilities and not the problem solving, but I see the obstacle in front of me. So how do I put this idea into practice? What if I got control of my thoughts? Well, let me see if I can give you some things that will help. One of them is this. Think on purpose. Think on purpose. Start thinking about what you think about. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Start thinking about what you think about. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know what it means when he says take captive? He means think about what you're thinking about. In other words, look at what you're doing and what your thoughts are, and make sure that you're getting those things in line so that you can follow Christ. You see, it goes back to where we started. The world seems to have such an influence on our thinking. And the more we let the world move in and influence our thinking, the tougher it is to think on purpose of what God wants us to do. I travel a lot still, but not near as much as I used to. I could probably rival my dad for the amount of time that he travels. As a matter of fact, years ago, I was gone every other week and traveled a lot. I traveled all over the country and did a lot of that. It's interesting when you travel a lot. What happens to your thought process? You know, when you're by yourself and you're staying in hotels and you're traveling a lot, you have a lot of time to think. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. If you have control of your thoughts, you're able to think about good things and positive things and great things and develop plans of action and things that you can do to get over obstacles and how do I make this and how do it happen and how do I make that happen. If you don't have control of your thoughts, the natural tendency is, when you have a lot of time by yourself and a lot of time to think, is to begin to dwell on the negative. Have you ever had that experience where you just begin to dwell on the bad things? You know, why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why did these things take place? Why does it always seem to be me? Those kinds of things. And then we begin to build on those. Why did he do this? Or why did she do that? It goes to the next step. How am I going to get even with them? Been there, right? How am I going to get back at them? A lot of it comes just because we have a lot of time and we forget the purpose. We have to focus on the purpose. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? What is it that you want me to be? What is it that you have called me to be as a purpose, as a person? That's the reason we have to take every thought captive. Because the little thought that starts with, why did they, ends up with something like, how can I get even? You notice that? You notice the progression? Whereas if I got that thought, that very first one, captured, why did they, and I just went, you know, forget about it, move on in life, it's not that big a deal, then I would never get to the place where I'm going. How am I going to get even? If you've been around me for any length of time, you've heard me say this, and I think it is a line that is so true. There is only one person in this world that I can do anything about. You know who that person is? It's me. I cannot do anything about anybody else. Now, I can help be an influence, hopefully. I can be positive, hopefully. I can say something that encourages, hopefully. But there is only one person in this world I can do anything about, and that person is me. And it begins with me thinking on purpose. There's a second thing you need to catch if you're going to put this into practice and develop it in your life, and that is think with a filter. Now, that may sound a little suspicious, like a product endorsement, but sometimes I believe we have to think with a filter. You know, the doctors always tell us we need to drink a lot of water. Does your doctor tell you that? Drink a lot of water. And then you go, well, I drink a lot of coffee and tea and orange juice. And they go, that doesn't count. You need to drink a lot of water. Do you know why most of us do not drink a lot of water? Because it tastes terrible. Right? I mean, be honest, it tastes terrible. You know, you get it out of the tap, and that stuff is awful. A few years back, Gail bought one of those Brita filters. You know, one of those little things you put in the refrigerator, and you put the water in, it filters down through and fills up the bottom, and stick it in the refrigerator. Instead of going to the faucet, to the tap, to get the water out of it, you take that little thing that has the filtered water, and you pour it, and you drink. You know how much better that water tastes than that stuff that comes out of the tap? Now, the source was exactly the same place. What was the difference? One of them went through a filter. And because it went through the filter, it filtered out all the impurities and all the stuff that makes it taste bad. That's exactly what we need to do with our thoughts. Kind of like the Brita filter filters out all the bad stuff and the impurities in the water so that we end up with pure, clean water. Sometimes we need to put a filter on our mind, so that the things going into our mind and thereby being processed in our mind are good and clean and pure. And by the way, that's not my concept. That's God's concept. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and this is a verse you need to just write down, put in the front of your Bible someplace, think about this. There's some things in here to memorize that will help you filter. But listen to what Paul writes. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There are 8 things in there that you ought to just write down and keep the list in front of you, because this is your filter list. You see them in there? He lists them. And they're questions we can ask about every thought. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? In other words, in all of these thoughts, they need to run through those filters. And if at any point in time one of them catches it up, in other words, stops it, then probably it's not a thought that we ought to have. So we need to filter the thought and make sure that all of our thoughts go through those filters. You know, web designers have a little trick that sometimes if a web page address gets changed, the URL gets changed, they will put a thing on that particular web page called a redirect. You know what a redirect is? If you type in a certain address and the page is not there any longer, it will automatically redirect you to where that website is now. So that even though you didn't know the original or did not know that address, the original address got you there. That's kind of what a filter does for us. There are times where thoughts need to be redirected into a different place. They need to be sent a different way. And by doing that, that thought becomes what God wants it to be. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you are going through life and you have some bad things that are happening. And there are things that happen because someone chose to do something to you. Now, they may have been justified or not. It doesn't make any difference. But for some reason, they chose to react to you in a negative way. Now, you have a choice. You have a choice to react back to them in a negative way, or you have a choice to react in a positive way. Right? If we go through the filters we just talked about, and we went through all of those things with that thought, what would our response have to be? It would have to be positive. So instead of reacting negative and trying to get back at them, maybe what we need to do is just react and say, why did they do that? And then turn that around into something that's positive. Maybe somebody took something from you, and it just really made you mad that they took it. Then they wouldn't own up to it, even though you know they knew they did it. You could react by going to them and saying, I know you took it. Or you could react by saying, maybe there was a need and they had something and they're struggling and let me see if I can help them out. So you go to Walmart, you buy a $25 gift card, and you walk up to them the next time and say, hey, say, I know things are tough for you right now. My family and I just have a gift we want to give you. And you give it to them and leave. Now, which one of those two reactions do you think is going to bring positive results? It's the one that says, hey, I took this thought through the filter, and I wanted to do something that was admirable and noble and true and honest and pure and lovely. There's one other real quick. Write this down, and then I'll be quiet, all right? The third thing. Think in the direction of change. Sometimes we just have to look in the direction of change. George Bernard Shaw once said, those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. He may not have realized it, but actually he was putting a biblical principle into place. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, be made new in the attitude of your minds. You see, transformed behavior begins with a transformed thought life. Earlier I quoted Norman Vincent Peale, who said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. More significantly, I think it can be said, change your thoughts and you will change yourself. If your thoughts change, you will think. You will change. So think in a direction of change. Peter actually went on to say this, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds to do the things that God's called you to do. Take control of your thoughts. I want to end by reading you a quote. This quote is from Henry David Thoreau, who said this. Catch this. As a single footstep will not make a path on earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Isn't that good? In other words, it's not enough just to think one time. We have to constantly train ourselves, how do I think? What if I took control of my thoughts? Where would my life be? How would it be different? How could I do more? How could I accomplish more of what God has called me to do? What if we took control of our thoughts? God, all of us have this problem of runaway thoughts. Thoughts that just go all over the place and seems like we can't even control them. But what if? What if we took the time and put in the effort to change our thoughts and to make our thoughts what you want them to be in the way that you want them to be? What could we do and what could we accomplish if we would change our thoughts? And as a church, we've already learned some lessons about that. You know, we had a choice to think, there's no way. Or we had the choice to make to say, with God, all things are possible. Thank you for the lessons that we have learned together, that truly with you, all things are possible. And we lean on you to see us through, to bring us through, to help us change our thoughts to be what you want our thoughts to be. And as we do that, we know that we're going to draw closer to you and do more for you and accomplish more for you. And so help us daily to lean on you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand up, will you? When you think about our thoughts and leaning on Him, of what you can do and what you can accomplish and how God can work in your life and the great things